Everybody. All right. Praise God. Would you open your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans? The Spirit chapter. If you don't know what that is, it's the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. It's the Spirit chapter. Praise God. And I would like... For the last couple of months, there's scriptures I've been meditating on almost daily. And there's something in here I just want to, that'll help us. Praise God. Amen. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26 to 32. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now this is a familiar verse, but you got to keep it in the context. We quote this next verse a lot. But we don't quote it in the context. That's the surrounding verses. It's surrounded by not knowing how to pray like we ought to. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Spirit makes intercession for us. It searches the heart. Knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Makes intercession according for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And the next verse tells us His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Here's the purpose. To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Here's our help. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now that's another way of stating you must be born again of water and of the Spirit. Okay. What shall we say to these things? Listen to this. If God be for us, who can be against us? And listen to this. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, Calvary. Now listen to this. How shall He not with Him also give us, freely give us all things? I want to talk to us this morning about God's purpose. You can be seated. Every one of us today that has the Holy Ghost, we have two natures. And this Thanksgiving Day, I just took a little time and began to thank God about this. Most of us have lived according to the power of our Adamic nature, longer than we have lived according to the power of the divine nature. That simply means we, most of us, have lived longer in sin than we've lived longer in the church. But I got to thinking about that at Thanksgiving time, and that's not true with me. I'm 69 years old today, but I got the Holy Ghost when I was 14. So I've had the advantage of living for God longer than I lived in sin. And that has made things easier for me. Much easier. I didn't have to overcome some things that perhaps you have to overcome. I didn't have to struggle with some things that you might be struggling with now. And I thank God for that. Doesn't mean I'm perfect by a long shot. the Lord's still working on me. One of my friends who's gone on to meet the Lord now was a wonderful preacher, Brother Edmund Dias, pastored in San Lorenzo, California. When I preached a revival for him, we were talking one day in his home, and he said, I found out what I want to be my epitaph when I want him to put this on my tombstone when I die. Now, he was old at that time. I don't know if they did it or not. I've never been there, but if they followed his wishes, they did. And I said, well, what do you want carved on your tombstone when you die, Brother Dias? And here's what he said. Construction finished. Thank you for your patience. Now, Sister Dias, she said she wanted on her tombstone, done with dishes. But what I'm saying today, it doesn't matter if we've had the Holy Ghost a short time or a long time. He's still working on us. If he ever stops working on us, we're in trouble. The Bible says when we start off as a Christian, we start off as a babe in Christ. And as a babe in Christ, we desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow by. We need, as a new convert, we need to know and hear repeatedly that our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. And we need to hear the fundamentals about prayer and attending church. Now, after you've been in the church a while, you shouldn't need anybody to tell you to be at church on Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday night. If you do need somebody to constantly remind you that, you're retarded. Really? I mean, what do you mean? Because that is the fundamentals. That's ABCs. If we... The Bible says, therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, and da-da-da-da, names them off. Those are the fundamentals. And the resurrection, we don't need anybody to keep reminding us of that. That's ABCs. But we do need to go on and grow in grace and knowledge. And so the purpose of God needs to be accomplished in our life, and he is working on that through the Spirit. Now, if you're not careful, and I'm going to talk about this morning, I don't want you to be offended, but sometimes we attribute things to the devil that aren't the devil, it's the Lord. In fact, let me just say this real carefully. I really feel powerful about this. I feel strongly about what I'm fixing to say right now. We do have an adversary. The Bible calls him the adversary, the devil. He does go about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It said, whom steadfast resist. That, if you're steadfast, that means you got your feet braced. You got your arm, your fist cocked. And you're ready to knock them out. Pop them. Right? You're not standing around saying, hit me, hit me, hit me. No. But some people live like that. They're just wanting the devil to hit them. The devil's been beating me down all day. Hogwash. That's baloney. That's not true. That's an all-redism, hogwash. I guess that's when they wash the hogs off at the fair to make them look like something besides a hog. A hog is a hog. No matter how you dress them up, they're still a hog. What do you mean? I watched them out at the fair. They were getting ready to show these hogs of 4-H and the FFA. Compete against each other. They were going to try to win some prize money. And I watched them. They had these hogs up on a table, and they had these clippers out, and they were shaving them under their chin and their whiskers and all of this and that, and they had them tied to that. That hog squealing and punching and fighting and trying to get away, and they're shaving him up. And I stood there, I watched. I said, "Boy, this sure is silly. When they get done, he's still a hog." And they had a special spot over there. They had brushes and soap and hoses, and they were scrubbing them hogs down, you know, slicking them all up. And I watched as one of those hogs got away. The first place he went was to a mud hole. All right. And so, I don't know how I got out there. But anyway, it's hogwash. Hogwash is where they washed them off. Now, listen. If we're constantly blaming the devil, I don't have a good thing to say about him. I really don't feel sorry for him at all. But if we're constantly blaming the devil for our troubles, our problems, we are short-circuiting our growth in God. Because we're, so, well, the devil's beating me up, so I can't be blamed for this, so blah, 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 blah. And so you give yourself an excuse, an out. That's not right, because the Lord wants you to grow. His purpose is that you would be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Isn't it interesting that Romans 12 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so we're supposed to be conformed to what? The image of Jesus Christ. That is His purpose. That Christ, Paul even said to the Galatian church, they were having some problems, and Paul said he was afraid of them. He was fearful for them. Because he said, I have to travail again in birth till Christ be formed in you. They were off track. It was just not right. They were being caught up by the philosophies of the world. They were being conformed to the world and not conformed to the image of Christ. And Paul said, I've got to travail in birth pains. I've got to have labor for you. I've got to call your name out for prayer. I've got to intercede for you because Christ hasn't been formed in you yet. Amen. And so that was the Galatians' problem. And so we have two natures. We have our fleshly nature, or you can call it the human nature. The Bible calls it the Adamic nature. Now let me illustrate what I mean by that. When I was 19 years old, I worked for Owens Corning in Stockton, California. I started off there learning. They manufactured fiberglass tubs and showers. And my first job there, you may not realize it, but a lot of those tub showers that you buy for new at Home Depot and Sears or wherever you buy them, have already been repaired. And my first job for Owens Corning was they taught me how to repair fiberglass tub showers. And then My first job was I waxed the molds. They had these big stainless steel molds that are exactly the opposite of a tub shower. And we waxed them with turtle wax. They're made out of stainless steel. And you waxed them because they were going to spray that white coat on there, or whatever color the tub shower was going to be. They sprayed that on first, and then on all the bends and curves, they sprayed some stuff called Vitrastrand on that. It was brown. And then on top of that, they sprayed fiberglass. First of all, they sprayed the white, then the fiberglass, then the Vitrastrand, and then they sprayed on top of that some foam. It's brown in color. And then after it had a chance to set up, they popped a little on the edge loose, and then they shot air in there, and the air popped this thing off the mold, and you had a tub shower. But what I found out was the reason there was a lot of repairs that had to be made on these brand new tubs was because of what they called mold, M-O-L-D, transfers. There was a defect in the mold. And every t- tub that came off of those molds that had dings in them had a ding in it. Because that was where the mold was. Well, in Adam, all die. We inherit a mold transfer when we were born into this world. It is an Adamic fallen nature. It is depraved. You don't have to teach it to sin. It sins. Automatically. Because there's a mold transfer. We all came from Adam. Amen? Adam was made perfect, but he fell. And he got a mold transfer in there. Everybody that's born into the human race, with the exception of Jesus Christ, had a mold transfer. And that was an Adamic nature, a nature that was against God, a nature that caused it to sin, to do those things that were unlike God. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. And then Peter described it in 2 Peter, the first chapter, says we have been made partakers of the divine nature. So now we have two natures in us. If you got the Holy Ghost, you have a fleshly nature. And as I mentioned, most people in this building today lived under the control of sin longer than you've lived under the control of the Holy Ghost. So that's why you have temptations. Your fleshly nature has a mold transfer. It's got the waves of sin in it. It desires after sin. It has appetites. What does that mean? An appetite is a desire. When your stomach starts growling, it's desiring food. Your old Adamic nature, it wants to be gratified by XYZ of sin, whatever it is. Every one of us have different things that we're more vulnerable to than others. Now, I don't have no desire. I never have been tempted to drink beer. You know why? It stinks. I smell. My uncle used to drink. I went fishing with him. He drank country club beer. That was the awful stinking stuff I ever saw. I said, why would anybody want to drink that stuff? It stinks. Okay. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't tempt me. I can walk down the aisle and there's 14 different kinds of beer, and there's not a twitch in my nature. It doesn't respond to that at all. It doesn't mean that I laugh. I said, look at them stupid people taking that stuff out of here. It doesn't bother me at all. But it might be your besetting sin. You might feel totally different when you walk down that aisle than I do. You understand what I mean? The Bible talks to us that we have, Hebrews 12 says, seeing that we have so great a cloud of witnesses, it talked about the heroes of faith. And then it goes on to say, laying aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, that we may run with patience the race that is set before us. That's not a weight to me. It doesn't bother me, but it might be your weight. I can't stand the smell of smoke. But some of you folks, smoke just sets off your senses. You, all of a sudden, you just want something. Are you with me today? I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just trying to talk about where the rubber meets the road. I don't want to name all these things. You just know the things that of the world, of the old life, that seem to come back. And you're vulnerable to them. Doesn't mean you participate in it, but the temptation is there. Okay. It is God's purpose to come by and fix the mold. So that every tub that comes off this mold will be perfect. It is God's purpose that we be conformed to the image of His dear Son.
What did Pilate say? A wicked, carnal, evil man said, I find no fault in him. Are you with me? See, it is God's purpose that we would be conformed to the image of His dear Son. That we will be just like He is. Now, I don't know about you, I can sing. I got a long ways to go to be like Him. If anything, it's a besetting sin with me, is I can get real cynical real easy. And that's, boy, I hate that. I have to pray and pray and pray over that because I can just be, my old human nature, if I don't stay close to Jesus, I can just get real critical real easy. And that's, I have to fight that. Now, you might not have to fight that. Praise God, I hope you don't, because it's a terrible thing. But at the same time, I've got the divine nature in me that counteracts that. In fact, Jesus said in John, the 16th chapter, I may be ahead of myself here. In the 16th chapter of John, He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will reprove, or the Comforter, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. I've got the Holy Ghost in me, and when I start to lean towards that cynical side, the Holy Ghost starts saying, the purpose of God is for you to get away from that. And so we have to do that. Now, there are three things that we've got going for us that will accomplish this purpose of God in our life, that we would be conformed to the image of His dear Son. There's three things that we got going for us. The first one is, since this is in the 8th chapter, the Spirit chapter, we got the Holy Ghost. We've been made partakers of the divine nature. We've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So lust, and Romans 6 says, sin shall not have dominion over. So we've got the Holy Ghost, so we've escaped the corruption, that which is causes rot. That old Adamic nature, if we let that thing go, it'll cause us to rot. In fact, we'll die spiritually. And so we've escaped the corruption in this world through lust. We've been made partakers of the divine nature. That's the first thing that we've got going for us. The next thing we've got going for us is the Word of God. And the next thing we got going for us is the man of God. And you notice that God, if you may not have noticed it, but let me just remind you if you haven't. Ephesians 4 said God gave 5 gifts to the church. We're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He gave 5 gifts to the church. Actually, we call it the fivefold ministry. Actually, it's only got 4 folds. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers. The pastor's got to be a teacher. He may not have to be a great preacher, but he better be a good teacher. And what are those 5 ministries or fourfold ministries given to the church for? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, the word perfecting means maturity. So for to bring the saints, that's us, me, you, we're all saints. If you got the Holy Ghost, you baptize in Jesus' name, you can say, I'm a saint. Poor Catholics, they get voted in and voted out. We're born in this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so He gave, you've got the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the man of God. And the man of God's job is to perfect us, to bring us into maturity. Paul said, when I was a child, if I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, when I became mature, I put away childish things. I mean, the man I assisted in California before I became a pastor, he told me about his nephew, his sister's son. And he was evidently a really spoiled brat. And he said that when the boy went to the, when he was going to school in the first grade, I guess he's about 6 years old, his mother always packed him a lunch. Now, I still got my lunch box I carried when I was a kid. I still have it at the house. But his mother, and in that lunch box, I got a thermos in there. But this boy, when his mother, he was a mama's boy. His mother sent him to the first grade. She packed his lunch and his lunch bucket. You know what she put in there? A thermos. No, she put a bottle with a nipple on it. Can you imagine that poor kid going to the first grade and everybody's opening up their lunch and they're drinking out of the thermos? Boy, what a razzing he got. I guarantee you he got rid of that bottle pretty quick. Okay. We don't need to be sucking on the bottle when we've been in the church a while. And so he gives us a pastor to perfect us by the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Now, in case you don't know, the Bible said in the pastoral epistles, Brother Dominic was teaching from Timothy the other night, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are called the pastoral epistles. They are written to pastors. What are they written for? To tell them what to do. Are you with me? And so what did Paul tell Timothy? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Did you get that? Reprove. What does reprove mean? He said, quit that. What are you doing that for? Get a life. You got the Holy Ghost. You're not supposed to be doing that. Rebuke. That's even harder. Exhort. Say, come on now. Come on. Are you with me? Now, long suffering, huh, Brother Pastor? Boy, for us guys that are impatient, long suffering is hard. What's long suffering? Suffer long. He's telling us that our attitude has got to be while we're perfecting people through preaching the Word. We're supposed to at the same time reprove, rebuke, exhort. But we got to have long-suffering in doctrine. You see, this thing is balanced out. What's the purpose? God's purpose is that we would be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Now, when you're conformed to the world, that means we let the pressure of the world shape our life. And that's wrong. Ain't it? Isn't it? But when we say, I'm going to be conformed to Christ, that means we feel the pressure of the Holy Ghost. Don't you say, oh no, that's not true. The love of Christ constrains us. The Holy Ghost puts pressure on us. What for? To be conformed to the image of His Son. That's why you hear some preaching that gets right under your skin and might make you mad. What are you feeling? The pressure of the Holy Ghost. Get right. It doesn't mean you're at the moment going that you're lost. It just simply means that as you develop and grow, that you're supposed to be conformed every day, every service, to be more like Jesus. When you're in the world, you think like the world. But now we've got to have the mind of Christ. We've got to think like Christ. How can we possibly do that? The Word, the Spirit, and the man of God. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Now, I want to get, let me get off of here. I got to. And so, since we have two natures, divine nature and the human nature, the flesh or Adamic nature, this is the source of conflicts in our life. And this is what I want to talk about. There's going to be conflict always between the spirit nature and the human nature. The Bible says these are contrary one to the other. It's like two magnets. There's one way you put the magnets together, they stick. But the other way, you turn them around, you try to get them together and they go opposite.
Right.
And so the Holy Ghost is contrary to the flesh. And the flesh is contrary to the spirit. Where they meet, and they meet in my life and your life every day. if they ever start sticking, I'm in trouble. I need to feel that. And so this conflict between our fallen Adamic nature, our human nature that has developed the habits, the thoughts, and the behaviors of sin. We've lived in sin more than we lived in grace. That is the source of conflict because the Holy Ghost is going to want us to get rid of some things. Some thoughts, some attitudes, some behaviors. Things. Our fleshly nature wants to click with it. Wants to hold on to it. The divine nature wants to repel it.
That's right.
And so this, but if we blame that on the devil, no, the Lord is constantly going to be working in our life to accomplish His purpose. But if we attribute it to something else, we may not, oh, well, that's just the devil. No, it's just the flesh. My flesh is resisting the ways of God. And so let's get down here to the purpose of God. So it's a mistake to blame this on the always. Now, there is a real devil, and occasionally we have problem with him. I've never met him personally, but I have come across him. I've dealt with him a little bit in my lifetime. It's not a fun feeling. It's a difficult thing. But I want you to notice here where I'm coming from is verse 26. Likewise, now it's talking in the preceding verses about our hope. Let's see this. It says, verse 24, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. What he's talking about is that we're all hoping that Jesus will come today and deliver us from all this. That's our hope. It's the anchor of our soul. Have you ever said to yourself in the midst of a problem in your life, I wish Jesus would come today. You never said that? I have. I can't tell you how many times. And that's the hope that, well, when the Lord comes, I'll be done with this. I won't have to worry about it no more. And then he said, though, likewise, we have this hope. We're saved by hope. We live by that hope. We're looking for the rapture, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious supreme and great God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for Him. Now, just like that keeps us going, that keeps us encouraged. Likewise, in the same manner, listen to this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, listen. He's not talking about diseases here. He's not talking about sickness. He's not talking. Infirmity, the word infirmity here, if I can get to my notes somewhere, let me find it here. Infirmity simply means our weaknesses. I hope you don't disrespect me for what I'm fixing to say. I'm talking about myself. When I was a sinner, though a young sinner, I learned to cuss from my dad. He wasn't there very much. My dad left our home when I was 8 years old, but I learned to cuss before I was 8 years old. And this old Adamic nature still remembers all of that. And sometimes under certain circumstances, this old flesh rises up and it wants to cuss. Larry G. Allred, me. I know exactly what to say. I know what tone of voice to use. I know what gestures to make. I'm not proud of that. I'm ashamed of it. But my Adamic, that's when the mold transfers. But the Spirit helpeth my infirmity. when the thought runs through my mind, the Spirit helps my infirmity. In fact, if you ride in the truck with me sometime, you'll hear me out loud say, "No! No! No! I'm not going to do it! No!" What do you mean? My infirmity has popped up. I know what to say if I just let loose. But the Spirit puts a clamp on my mouth. And I find myself saying, "Lord, there it is. That besetting sin. That thing that I'm vulnerable to." You may not be vulnerable to it. But given my makeup, my human nature, you say, "Brother Orton, did you give in to that?" No. Because the Spirit helps my infirmities. And if it pops up a few days in a row, I'll be praying long and the Spirit will bring that up to me. And it makes intercession with groanings that can't make, that's speaking in tongues. It is not always speaking in tongues, I'm going to tell you. Sometimes there is such a deal, I just find myself groaning before God. I can't put words to it. I don't know what to say. And so I just, "Oh God, Jesus." It's not vain ganglings there. It's just I don't know what to say. But the Spirit is dealing with me and it's helping my infirmities. It's helping me to not give in to that thing. Yours might be something else. I don't know. I don't even want to name it. But there's in prayer, the Spirit helps your infirmity. If you let the Spirit, it goes without saying you got to pray. It goes without saying you got to pray. That's why the Bible says in the book of James. Now listen to me today. James 5:13 says, "Is any afflicted?" That's not talking about a disease or a broken arm or a wounded knee. It's talking about weaknesses. It's talking about trouble. "Is any afflicted? Let him" what? Call pastor up and say, "Would you pray for him?" No. That's not what it says. Is any afflicted? Are you having trouble? Is anything giving you any trouble? Nobody's got trouble. Man, you're all mature. You don't have trouble with anything. Some have an affliction of spending money. They spend beyond their means. They buy junk they don't really need. And then they can't pay the rent. And then they go into the... You better pray that when you go through Walmart or whatever store you go through, when your flesh wants to buy something you really don't need, the Spirit needs to help your infirmity right then. Get out of the store. Flee youthful lust. Get out of there. I'll tell you a story. Now, I got a nice truck. It's a GMC. It's not a new one. But I was driving down the road. I looked at it. I had 80-something thousand miles on it. That was supposed to be my last vehicle. I didn't need another one. And I'll declare, as I drove by the GMC dealer the other day, it wasn't the devil. It was all red. I know Flip Wilson's character, Geraldine, said the devil made me buy that dress. That ain't it. It was the flesh. It was the... You understand? And so, you know what I do? I avoid car lots. Because if I stop and look, I'm in deep trouble. So I just say, "Boy, I sure like this truck." You understand? Now, that's nothing. But to me, it can be a problem. The flesh, the Bible says, our human nature lusts against the Spirit. the Spirit's desire is for us to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. And that thing that appeals to our flesh, that the Word of God in precept or principle is against. Do you realize how big the Bible would be if it named every possible thing that was sin? Are you with me? And so there's two things going for us. Paul said, or such things. There's a lot of fall under that, such things. Are you with me? And so he gives us the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the man of God. That's why the man of God sets standards, minimal standards. Oh, see, what standards for? The other day, Brother Dave Bongers sent me to Albuquerque in the company truck. And I was up there all day long. And because of daylight savings time, when I came back home, it was dark. I never had driven that truck in the dark at nighttime, just daytime. Appeared by Theroux. I think it's on the east side of Theroux and on the west side of Theroux. They've put some kind of coating on the road, black stuff. And it blotted out the white line in the center that separated the two lanes of traffic on the freeway. And the white line on the left on the fast lane that separates that from the ditch. And on the right side, the line that separates from the ditch. And so I'm driving along, it's nighttime, and the lights on that truck didn't work right. You couldn't see anything. When I hit that spot, I don't get afraid driving, but I'm telling you, I had fear come upon me. I knew I was on the road, but I couldn't tell where I was on the road. There were railings here and bridges, and I got to know. I couldn't see anything. The lights were dim and they were not focused. They were focused way over here, and the headlights from here and the headlights from there and the 18-wheelers behind me. I didn't know where to go. I just let off on the gas and cried, "Oh, Jesus, help me. I don't know where I'm going." I was going 80 miles an hour. You go and all of a sudden you can't see. People don't want standards. How stupid. You need to know where you are. You need to know if you're on the road or off the road. You need to know if you're going in the ditch or running into somebody else. That's what standards are. Those are just two striped lines on either one in the middle and two on the outside. They're nothing. Oh, but they keep me safe. They keep me alive. They keep me on track. I may wobble a little bit between those two white lines, but my mission in life is to stay between the white lines. That's what standards are for. They may be a little variation here and there. Maybe one variation from one congregation to another. But what do? God's purpose is for us to stay between the white lines, so that we can grow in grace and knowledge. I got to get going. I mean, notice what he said here. Okay. The Spirit helps our infirmity. So, infirmity is not a sickness or a disease. Afflictions are not talking about broken legs or arms or sicknesses. It's talking about the things that cause us trouble in our life. It might be your mother-in-law. I mean, that's a notorious joke, ain't it? But you know what? The Bible said, abide peaceable with all men where possible. Sometimes it isn't possible. So what do? You just avoid it. Just don't hang around there. Do you understand what I mean? Why? Because we want to be conformed to the image of the dear Son. And notice this. It says here, the work of the Spirit. It says, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Listen to this. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. If you will begin to pray and seek after God, I promise you what will happen though if you'll let it. Now, if you just blame it on the devil, you won't pay no attention to it. But when you understand it's you, it's me, it's my nature, it's what I have trouble with, the Spirit will make intercession. Do you realize at that moment, Jesus Christ is making intercession for you. He knows how to pray what that problem is. Amen. Now, I'm not done by a long shot. But I want you to know today that Jesus intercedes for us. He ever lives. Hebrews 7:25, He ever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus does. And therefore, you can read the rest of that chapter. And it goes on to say, if God be for us, if He didn't spare Himself Calvary, He went to Calvary to pay the price for past sins. It says, He will, much more than, He will freely give us all things. Whatever it is you struggle with today, Jesus will freely give you everything you need, that you will come out on top, that you will not give in to sin or temptation or the lust of the flesh, but you will resist the devil. And the only way you can successfully resist the devil, according to Hebrews 4, is to first submit to God. And when you say, God, no matter what it costs me, I'm going to do Your will, you can resist the devil, and God's purpose will be accomplished in your life. And one of these days we'll say, construction finished. Thank You for Your patience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.